Teague Radio Daily for halfway day. You gotta reach deep down. You gotta get some of that in the back. It's the only way to really show how far we've come and how much we still have to go on this slight day of optimism during your work week, work at home week, whatever it is. Welcome to the 8th of July, everyone. We are the fine folks from geekradiodaily.com. The folks bringing to you the man that knows how to make any gathering the best one ever. That there is podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Personal philosophy, clothing optional.
Working from home? Okay, whatever. Hi, everyone. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Got a great big gun here.
So you watch yourself. You just watch yourself because you don't know what's going to happen. What did happen, though, on this fine day in the past?
Well, from people who aren't nearly compensating as much as you are, apparently. In 1881, a patron of Edward Berner's drugstore in Two Rivers, Wisconsin, is unable to order flavored soda water for religious reasons, as it was the Sabbath. Berner compromises by offering the man ice cream in a dish with the chocolate syrup that was previously only served as flavoring in ice cream sodas, making the first ice cream sundae. The dish's name will later be changed to sundae.
But he couldn't have soda water, all right? 1908, Kinemacolor, the first successful color motion picture process, is demonstrated at a scientific meeting in Paris, France. The Lumiere brothers will go on to become two of the earliest pioneers and are in the audience for the demonstration. Oh, Louis, look, this is amazing. Yes, they turned into Mario.
1937, Britain launches its 999 emergency services system and receives its first call at 4:20 a.m.
Where are your friends?
Once they answered the phone, they responded with, nice.
1947. The Roswell Army Airfield issues a press release stating the personnel from the field's 509th Bomb Group had recovered a crashed flying disc from a ranch near Roswell, sparking intense media interest. Later in the day, Commanding General of the 8th Air Force will state that, in fact, it's just a weather balloon. It's not a flying saucer. Then why did they call it a flying disc? Because it's a balloon. When it's flat, it looks like a disc. What?
1952, the first over-the-air cross-channel television link between London, England, and Paris, France is established.
1966, Universal Studios releases Frankenstein Conquers the World, which is a spoiler, directed by Ishiro Honda and starring Nick Adams, Tadao Takashimi, and Kumi Mizuno.
1967, the final installment of Buck Rogers, the first science fiction comic strip, appears in newspapers around the country after 38 years of daily publication.
1976, the first Indonesian satellite, Palapa A1, is launched from Cape Canaveral and is pretty good on stakes.
1997, NASA posts photos taken by Pathfinder lander on the surface of Mars.
1999, Bloomsbury publishes the fantasy novel Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, written by somebody from the UK, as a hardcover.
2000, the fantasy novel Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, by some person, is published by Bloomsbury in the UK and by Scholastic in the US as a hardcover.
2005, 20th Century Fox releases the action film Fantastic Four, directed by Tim Story and starring Ryan Gruffudd, Jessica Alba, Michael Chiklis, Chris Evans, and Julian McMahon, and is the film that introduced us to the concept of doesn't suck is not a good review.
Oh, I thought that was Wolverine. 2006, the Magic the Gathering card set Cold Snap, the third in the Ice Age block, is released.
They did a crossover with the stupid squirrel trying to get a nut movie? Birthdays?
Sophia Bush, 38. From Van Wilder, John Tucker Must Die, and Incredibles 2.
Milo Ventimiglia is 43 from Heroes, This Is Us, Rocky Balboa, something else that I forgot to write down.
He's a fantastic voice actor.
Yes, he is.
Billy Crudup, 52. From Almost Famous, MI3, Alien Covenant, Justice League, and I believe was also the dong model for Watchmen.
Kevin Bacon is 62 years of age from Friday the 13th, Animal House, Footloose, Tremors, Wild Things, The Following, and X-Men, First Class. And that new horror movie, but I haven't seen it yet.
Angelica Houston, 69, from This Is Spinal Tap, The Witches, John Wick, Chapter 3, and of course was a fantastic mortician in the Addams Family movies.
Jeffrey Tambor is 76 from Saturday the 14th, The Ropers, The Larry Sanders Show, Arrested Development, Transparent, Word Girl, and Archer.
Born this day, no longer with us, 1838, Ferdinand von Zeppelin founded the Ferdinand Airship Company.
1918, Craig Stevens from Abbott and Costello Meet Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde and played Peter Gunn on the show Peter Gunn.
1934, the great Marty Feldman from Young Frankenstein, The Adventure of Sherlock Holmes' Smarter Brother, silent movie, and the last remake of Beau Jest.
1935, Steve Lawrence, that's Maury Sline in The Blues Brothers, and you also saw him in The Lonely Guy. Aw.
Well, on CBS, we've got Game On, Tough as Nails, and a new SWAT.
ABC. It's a rerun of Goldberg's, rerun of Schooled, rerun of The Conners, rerun of American Housewife, but after being unexpectedly stranded in 1982, Mac retreats to his childhood home to deal with his parents' death on a new, yes, new, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, it's still on. NBC has reruns of The Chi Tri with your magnifiers and your...
Over on Fox, it's a rerun of MasterChef, but a new Ultimate Tag. It's on now.
See, keep in mind, folks, their TV shows are Tag, Mini Golf, and The Floor is Lava. What the hell happened to television? Oh, holy moly, is a damn delight. C.W. Clark takes on a new adversary, an in-depth look back to the past, and the nuclear apocalypse that destroyed the Earth. You know, normal stuff. And he's also taken on a new The 100 and a new Bulletproof.
Oh my gosh, Freeform is Miss Congeniality.
That's a fun movie. I like that one. AMC has Rambo, followed by Blue.
Makes sense. FX, it's got X-Men Apocalypse. Woo, X is in there.
FXX has Baywatch. Fits the movie. It is a joy.
It is. FXM has Get Out.
You know, really, the spiritual successor to the Baywatch TV show.
You know, that's true.
IFC has Parks and Rec Marathon.
BBC America's got Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, you know, that classic. Oh, wait, they actually do have a British film on there. Nice. Paramount has The Italian Job.
Sci-Fi's got Mad Max Fury Road.
Nice. TCM has Harvey, which we all know was the spiritual prequel to Donnie Darko.
Oh, we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a woman is shocked when she discovers her biological daughter was switched at birth with another girl whose mother finds her life falling apart and prepares to do whatever's necessary to prevent it from happening. Lindsay Hartley and Hannah Barefoot star in Deadly Daughter Switch.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Sonny accuses Chad of setting him up and threatens to kill him unless he proves Sonny's innocence. But if he doesn't, you go to jail, right? Chad comes to believe that the Caracas family staged the whole kidnapping based on a lead from Will. Chad locates them camping out in the hills above their home, along with a bag containing the missing money he was looking for from the first episode. Chad owes Will a big one. When daybreak arrives, he'll stop being a wise guy and take Will out for a nice meal and some times that will be incredibles. 2. Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
Okay, let's read a couple of letters here.
Hey, geeks. Because I know the only spiders dangerous to humans actively avoid active human dwellings, I'm always happy to see a spider in my home. They're keeping insects from taking over. I even like Herschel, Dorothy's friend, on Doom Patrol. Good call. I can only follow someone called Dr. Disrespect if his name was as inappropriate as was Little John for one of the Robin Hood friends. I'd rather watch Nick work wonders with Legos or fierce kittens and her intricate self-professionally programmed animators as she sews, or edgy Berserker as she plays through the earlier Final Fantasy VII. And then there's Robot Co-op, a puppet show like MST3K, now making decent side gig money, joking as they play games. Gosh, I wonder how you do. The Harley Quinn cartoon is a lot of fun, but I think they messed up not letting Ivy have both a husband and a wife. No, I'm not imagining all three of them together unless it's with their clothes on, telling Dr. Psycho to take the chip off of his shoulder. Oh, and playing Jackbox with Psy, Clayface, and that nice shark guy. And I remember to go to your website to look for what show your stinger excerpted. Do you not list those? It's not really a good... I'm not really good at guessing games. I think I've only known what one of those was from once. Please start including those references. That is from Bill. Well, no, Bill, I don't tell anybody where the stingers are from at the end, just like any of the various drops we play during the show. I don't really mention those. But, folks, do you want to know where all the stingers are from? Because if so, we can start doing that. That wouldn't be that difficult. I mean, I got to look stuff up anyway. Hey, guys. Goldbach's conjecture has been proven for numbers up to 4 times 10 to the 14th, not 4 times 10, 14. I love the podcast. You guys do great work. But apparently, we don't seem to do great math. And that is from Mark. And you know Mark. He's the guy that hosts the Jackbox stuff on Mondays and Wednesdays, like tonight, where we'll be playing right there. And I think he's streaming it tonight. And we're still not debuting the game that I made for Quiplash, because that's going to be this Friday when we stream and play Jackbox. This Friday. And then this Saturday, you can play poker with us as well. So if you've got your Poker Stars, you know, downloaded on your computer, why not go in and get yourself some free chips? Because it's going to cost you $20,000 to play. You get $15,000 for free. And I don't want you stuck like somebody was last time. Isn't that right, Cheryl? By all means, drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or tell us more and more about it using your voice or your fingertips. Just use the magic numbers of
510-GRD-CREW.
You don't even have to play with these. You can just be in the audience enjoying the camaraderie.
Calling all Dungeons & Dragons fans. If you like actual play podcasts, then I urge you to check out a new one. It's called You Meet in a Tavern, starring a halfling monk with a Napoleon complex, an honorable human paladin with an arsenal of horrible impressions, and an animal-loving half-elf druid whose bonds are covalent and mortgage-backed. We are 420-somethings with dull jobs by day, letting our inner nerd kid shine through our first ever D&D 5th edition campaign together. Come listen to our quest on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at YMIA Tavern. That's You Meet in a Tavern, because every good story starts in a bar.
Hey, you're geeking out on Geek Radio Daily with Nicole DeBoer.
Which means you're having a fantastic time. You can always go back and watch National Lampoon's Senior Trip.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
There's a very young Jeremy Renner in that with an interesting 90s hairdo. Very much so. What books are at the comic shop, sir?
Oh, very much so. And I love that movie. I have it on DVD.
Right.
DC Comics, we've got Batman. The Adventures Continue, 2 of 6. Green Lantern Season 2, 5 of 12. Lois Lane wrapping up with 12 of 12. And after a corrupted anti-life equation turns billions into monsters, including Earth's greatest heroes, our planet was as good as dead. Years later, a distress call brings Damian Wayne, John Kent, and Cassie Sandsmark, the Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman of Earth 2, back to a dead planet. But what will this new Justice League find waiting for them? If life still exists on Earth, who or what is lying in wait for these heroes? In DC East, Dead Planet, 1 of 6.
Over at Marvel, Doctor Strange, number 5, Ghost Riders at 7, Marvel's X, number 4 of 6, and then in the most unlikely of places, the Fantastic Four witnessed the final conflict of the Kree-Skrull War, and the fate of these final warriors will mark a stunning change to the lives of Marvel's first family for years to come. They might actually end up in movies again. All this in the introduction of the long-hidden elder of the universe, the Profiteer, witnessed the first appearance of this new, major player in the cosmos and empire, Fantastic Four. Number 0.
You think he just has a jetpack that just spits out money?
I hope so.
From Dynamite Entertainment, we've got Deja Thoris, number 6. Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys, the death of Nancy Drew, number 2. Sacred Six, number 1. From Boom Studios, we've got Alienated, 4 of 6. Firefly, number 17. Something is killing the children, number 8. I'm pretty sure it's rap music. But after everything and everyone she lost to the Hellmouth, Willow is leaving Sunnydale behind for a new school that promises to help you prioritize your true self. But Willow soon learns that all is not as it seems. And if your true self isn't what the school thinks it should be, well, don't worry. They'll help you get there by any means necessary. Now, truly alone for the first time in her life, Willow must rely on not only on her instincts, but her magic to save herself from a different kind of threat than Buffy ever prepared her to face. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Willow, number 1.
Titan Publishing Group's got Blade Runner 2019, number 8. IDW Publishing, Dungeons & Dragons Infernal Tides, number 4 of 5. Sleeping Beauties, 2 of 10. And Transformers Galaxies, number 7. But over in American Mythology Productions, on a secluded South Pacific island, terrors beyond imagining lurk within the heart of the jungle as intrepid adventurers Townsend Hopper Jr. and Virginia Maxson seek answers to a mystery better left unsolved. Having ventured to the island to lay to rest the ghost of their past, Townsend and Virginia find that, number 13, the inhuman creature created by Virginia's father is very much alive, but the two explorers cannot possibly be prepared for the horrific legacy her father's scientific experiments have spawned on this island of terror. It's Monster Men! Number 1.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, a new rumor suggests Warner Brothers is planning to reboot Justice League with a film entitled Justice League Rebirth.
Is that the name of the Snyder Cut?
According to DC themselves, you know, the film is going to have no connection to either 2017's Justice League or the forthcoming whatever Zack Snyder's Justice League is. It's also unclear who will comprise the team's roster, what the story will center on, and who Warner Brothers is eyeing to lead the project from a creative standpoint.
Please be Taika Waititi. Please be Taika Waititi.
Right, you would dream of that. If you're a fan of the comics, the name Rebirth holds particular significance beyond its connection to Flash and Green Lantern. In 2016, DC relaunched its entire line with the release of DC Universe Rebirth Special No. 1, an oversized one-shot that rebooted the new 52, which rebooted everything else in the world. It set the stage for massive event-esque miniseries like DC Universe's Watchmen crossover, Doomsday Clock, and Batman Three Jokers.
and Soup's got all of our underwear on the outside again.
2017's Justice League was originally supposed to launch its own franchise. In fact, a follow-up was planned and even briefly had a release date for June 2019, but that changed when it brought in $657.92 million on a $300 million budget, failing to make enough money to justify a sequel in the process.
But that's like over half. I mean, and yet somewhere another film calling itself Amity something is getting made.
In the nearly 3 years since its release, more attention has been paid to Zack Snyder's Justice League than speculation over a sequel or reboot. Zack Snyder's Justice League will premiere on HBO Max early to mid-2021.
Give us the Justice League butthole cut.
And of course, that'll lead us to the Ire Suicide Squad butthole cut, the Schumacher 170-minute butthole forever cut, and hopefully the rest of the episodes of Powerless, damn it! There was one with Adam West! Give it to us!
Yes! God, that would make me so happy. And since DC is trying to flesh out that DCEU for us to enjoy, your new rumor, more unbelievable than Michael Keaton possibly returning to his role as Batman, there are talks of a possible Batman Beyond and Zatanna film being developed by Warner Brothers and DC. So what's next? Better yet, who's next?
Well, now I think it's finally the time. Prepare. Adam Driver is Brother Power the Geek.
According to some decent rumors, a live-action Constantine film is in the works over at WB. This will feature Bad Robot serving as the production company with J.J. Abrams attached as a producer. It's said that it will have the same feel and tone as the Justice League Dark series that they're currently making for HBO Max, as well as the Zatanna film.
Oh, so they want to make a good Constantine movie.
John Constantine, or the Hellblazer, has been around since 1985. He first appeared in Vertigo's The Saga of Swamp Thing, number 37, and was created by Alan Moore. And was created by Alan Moore, John Totleben, and Steve Bissett. In 2005, he had a feature film titled Constantine, where the title role was played by Keanu Reeves.
Who totally sells us as a smooth British con man who looks like Sting. Although, in fairness, his characterization was most excellent.
Then in 2014, he had his television series that aired on NBC, where he was fantastically portrayed by Matt Ryan. While the series did not last, the character did, later appearing in the Arrowverse and more recently being added to the Legends of Tomorrow team.
And of course, continuously awesome in the DC animated verse.
Right you are, Flynn. It'll be interesting to see how all these projects develop, if, of course, they are even going forward. Will these characters coexist in the same universe or be independent? Will we get Swamp Thing moving again? Maybe even finally setting up for that live-action Justice League Dark. Otherwise, they might go for a dark and gritty Steel. Well, we do know that Shaq is on the market for a new Tiger guy.
You know, of all the films that you can possibly think of, what is the one that's most unlikely to get a follow-up?
Cabin in the Woods.
Fair, but even more unlikely, the great Stephen Tobolowsky recently revealed that a television series based on Groundhog Day was in the works.
Oh, no. I'm not going to live by their rules anymore.
Tobolowsky was a guest on the Production Meeting podcast, and not ours, where he revealed that one of the film's producers asked him if he would be interested in reprising his role of Ned Ryerson. There's talk about a Groundhog Day series in the works, Tobolowsky revealed.
Bing!
The actor continued, one of the producers I was working on, the Goldbergs, or schooled one of the shows over on the Sony lot, and one of them saw me and goes, Steven, we're working on a Groundhog Day TV show. Could you be Ned for the TV show? And I go, sure, yeah, no problem. But it's Ned. 30 years later, what has his life become?
Well, I've got friends of mine who live and die by the actuarial tables, and I say, hey, it's all one big crapshoot, anywho.
The original Groundhog Day starred Bill Murray as Phil Connors, a cynical TV weather reporter who becomes trapped in a time loop. While Tobolowsky didn't reveal any details about the series, the fact he is returning as Ryerson is rather intriguing indeed.
Look, I'd like to see Natasha Lyonne play Phil's daughter and is now stuck in a time loop. Oh, wait. That's the really awesome Russian doll.
Perhaps Ryerson becomes trapped in the same time loop that Connors did, or the series will pick up one of the many timelines created by the film.
Whenever I see an opportunity, I charge it like a bull. Ned the Bull, that's me now.
Still, though, recreating a classic is always difficult. Trying to get that magic. So showrunners, be careful. Watch that first step. It's a doozy.
We talked about a project last summer that had an intended release to coincide with the 2020 Tokyo Olympics. Well, that didn't happen, but Sony's wearable personal air conditioner is finally available for sale to help you battle the summer heat when you occasionally step outside to brave the sun's rage in the ongoing pandemic.
Cool King is calling.
While wearing a special t-shirt that suspends the device in the middle of your back, just below your neck, the Sony Rion Pocket, which looks kind of like an Apple Magic Mouse. Now, the portable AC uses the Peltier effect to serve as a heat pump that promises to help cool the wearer's body temperature by as much as 23 degrees Fahrenheit on hot days.
Less if Rosario Dawson is around.
The side of the Rion pocket that rests against the wearer's back is promised to remain cool to the touch while heat is removed through a small fan that vents warm air out and away from the body. Using a companion mobile app for iOS and Android devices, the Rion pocket can be manually adjusted as needed, or even set to an automatic mode, which uses temperature and motion sensors to detect what the wearer is doing, how they're feeling, and then appropriately adjust the cooling mode to ensure their desired comfort level is maintained.
You know, that vent's going to be a great tool for crop dusting.
The device can even be used in the cold winter months, functioning in reverse to help raise the wearer's body temperature by as much as 14 degrees Fahrenheit. But no matter the weather, the Rion Pocket isn't an all-day solution. Given its compact size, its internal battery is only good for about 2 to 4 hours of comfort, depending on how hard it needs to work. And then you'll have to wait about 2 hours for it to recharge before you can wear it again.
So now I need to develop like solar panel sneakers so I can keep my AC powered as I walk around?
You can find the personal AC unit at Sony's online store, selling it for around $120, or Amazon Japan, where it's currently closer to $160. While the t-shirt holders will set you back about 20 bucks each.
I mean, if you can find any after the cosplayers buy them out, I mean, shit, the 501st has them on back order for 6 months.
Sony has a lot riding on this, and they can't have the public giving them the cold shoulder.
When Ian Davis was just 17 years old, he built a myoelectric prosthetic arm and hand for a high school project. Now, 30 years later, he's still using what he learned for his own benefit after having 4 fingers on his left hand amputated in 2018. His prosthetic, designed and built all by himself, is astonishingly lifelike, despite containing no electronics whatsoever.
Oh, is it made out of, like, Tinker Toys and Legos and gum?
In 2017, Davis was diagnosed with a type of cancer known as multiple myeloma, which can result in the weakening of a patient's bones. In 2018, an accident in his workshop resulted in broken bones in his hand, and doctors ended up having to amputate 4 of his fingers to save his life. He's left-handed, and the loss of functionality in that hand could have put an end to his ability to design and build things. Instead, while recovering, he drew up sketches for his own prosthetic and has been improving, upgrading, and rebuilding the mechanical fingers ever since, sharing his progress on his YouTube channel.
Did it himself? Well, that's handy.
Davis shared a video of the latest and greatest version of the prosthetic that's now able to spread and splay the individual fingers, expanding what he's able to do with it. Davis's amputation left him with half of his left hand and wrist still functional, so instead of electrical motors, he's able to curl and splay the digits using a complex series of mechanical linkages powered and controlled by how he moves his hand and his wrist.
And he's ready for the Rochambeau World Championships.
As a self-proclaimed maker, Davis's prosthetic fingers might just be the ultimate hack as they allow him to continue not only to pursue his passions and stay productive in his workshop, but to continue to live his life and perform the mundane daily tasks that most of us don't even think about. And like many makers, Davis wants to share his designs and what he's learned with the larger maker community in hopes that his prosthetics inspire and contribute to the designs of other prosthetics in order to make these important tools available and more affordable to people who need them. Which, of course, makes this the most amazing hand job on record. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Go check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Yeah, tonight we're probably playing Jackbox Over with Mark, who will be streaming it as well. If you're freaked out about it, don't turn your camera on. It's fine. You're going to be fine. Just don't do anything illegal on camera. We'd have to turn you in it as well. or at least make fun of you forever for it, because that's what happens. And if y'all, I'm not going to be the alien, so I'm not worried about it at all. Drop us a note, won't you, please, everyone. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com, or tell us all about it, text us all about it. Just use the numbers.
510-GRD.
And, you know, yeah, yeah, pretty much.
That was lame.
Good night, suckers.
Oh my God, look at this place. It's like a museum of failure.
They call me Dr. Manhattan. They explain the name has been chosen for the ominous associations it will raise in America's enemies. They are shaping me into something gaudy. Something lethal. In January 1971... President Nixon asks me to intervene in Vietnam, something that his predecessors would not ask. A week later, the conflict ends. Some of the Viet Cong forces want to surrender to me personally. Hollis Mason, a retired costume hero, writes a book. In it, he calls my arrival the dawn of the superhero. I am not sure if I know what that means.